Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about our military family readiness program here in Minnesota, and we'll check in with the Minneapolis VA's Fisher House. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Each year from September 15th to October 15th, Americans observe National Hispanic Heritage Month to celebrate the contributions of Americans whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America. September is a significant month because it's the anniversary of independence for many Latin American countries. While there is much to celebrate culturally, Hispanic Americans have made countless sacrifices in defense of our nation. During the Spanish-American War, several thousand Hispanic volunteers, mostly from the southwestern United States, fought with distinction in the United States Army. Hispanics continued to fight with distinction throughout both World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, and beyond. Their selfless service and dedication to the United States military remain strong today. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in celebrating and recognizing the exceptional contributions of these Americans, both past and present.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me again today in the studio is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
And you are my yellow ribbon lady, and we say that jokingly, but you help start and create and are growing the Yellow Ribbon Readiness Programs here in Minnesota networks. And can you just give us a brief update? How many cities, how many companies? I know you've been on the move.
Yes, we have 90 Yellow Ribbon networks in 227 cities and 26 counties across the state. And we are up to 63 Yellow Ribbon companies, and they're all banding together to help support our service members, veterans, and military families. And that takes on a lot of importance, especially when we have some large deployments coming up and ongoing within the state of Minnesota.
And that's a whole lot of people under your influence, isn't it?
Yes. it's just wonderful partners that we've identified in the community and in our companies across Minnesota that help us support.
And the focus of the Yellow Ribbon program is kind of twofold. It was to help our returning troops to reacclimate into civilian society, but it's become more in recent years because they're there to help the families while our service members are gone.
Yes, it really started under that premise, and now as we're kind of experiencing more and more deployments with larger troops, it takes on much more importance, definitely.
And you've brought in a guest for us today that's very timely in light of the fact that we just sent out another 650 Red Bull soldiers on a deployment.
Yes. Our family readiness support assistants are our key support partners that help surround the Yellow Ribbon networks, in addition to county veteran service officers, family assistance centers, and other partners throughout the state really help us surround our Yellow Ribbon networks. So our family readiness support assistants are just important partners to us to connect to the families and what their needs are. And today I brought along Sharon Baker, who is our Family Readiness Support Assistant Supervisor for the state and oversees all these wonderful people that are helping our families across the state.
Sharon, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
It's fun to have another Irish person in the studio, so we've got that in common.
Yes, we do.
And you come from a military family. Your husband is in the service.
Yes, my husband's active duty Army. He's a part of the recruiting command, and we're stationed here in Minnesota.
And you've moved a lot of times since he joined 21 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, we've moved 8 times. I've been fortunate enough to be over in Bamberg, Germany, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And we've been in remote locations, 3 different ones in Oregon, also Sacramento, California, Tucson, Arizona. And now we're here in Minnesota. We've decided to call Minnesota home. So we've built a house in Savage and we're staying.
So when we talk about families sacrificing in addition to the service member, you know what we're talking about, don't you?
Yes, I definitely do.
Even your son has moved well many times, I understand.
Yes, he has. He's 14 years old, and he's a pretty resilient young man, but we've also had him be a part of our movings and our transitions that we've gone through and created an adventure atmosphere.
So he's done well.
Yeah, and made it fun. Sure. So, and he's learned a lot. He's seen and done more than most people do in their life.
We're talking about Family Readiness Support Assistant Program here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Sharon, how did you get to the Family Readiness Support Program?
Well, in the previous locations that we lived, I worked for Military OneSource. And in moving here to Minnesota, I was an outreach assistant for Military OneSource for a period of time and noticed that the Family Readiness Support Assistant position was open at Bloomington Armory, and I applied for that position, and happy to say that I'm on the team, and went through that interviewing process. And then when we became under a new contract, I was held up by the rest of my team that's been on the FIRSA team for many years, some of them over 10, didn't want to leave the families they had been supporting for so long, and encouraged me to step up and take the senior slot with their assistance and help and behind me. And we have a very strong, cohesive team. We work very well together. So, well,
with everything you've experienced being a military wife, you're in the perfect spot that you should be in, I would think.
Well, thank you.
Annette, we've talked a lot over the years about the programs here in Minnesota, the Yellow Ribbon Program, Minnesota Military Family Foundation, the Family Assistance Centers, and all the different organizations that support the families. But it's important for our guard, active duty guard and reserve troops to understand there's help out there.
Absolutely. That there are all this synchronization of effort that we have across the state to help these families in any kind of situation they might be in.
And Sharon, I imagine that part of your job is to know where all of those resources are. But the other part of the job is, how do you reach out to the families and let them know we're here to help?
Yes, it's a huge part to know what all those resources are. I firmly believe in arming yourself to be able to educate the military families as well as educate yourself so that you can better your lives and the soldiers' lives and their families' lives. Because if the soldiers are ready and the families are ready, the mission can be completed. And they don't have those worries and concerns. They're able to focus on what's ahead of them. Even the families are able to focus if they don't have those worries and the concerns, if they're aware of and know where to reach out and who to ask for help.
Now, Sharon, I think most of our military families are proud families, and sometimes they're probably not inclined to ask for help when they need help. And I would guess after 8 moves in 21 years, you've gone through some low spots where you could have used some help and maybe didn't ask. How do you get by that with our military families?
Sometimes it's just about paying attention and listening. And, listening to those, at an FRG meeting that somebody might be going through a struggle and then walking over and offering that, hey, this is here, this is available. We have the Family Assistance Center. They do have assistance where they have the MMFF program, the grants available. There's the Yellow Ribbon program. It's just listening and offering and putting the things out there in front of them, saying, it's okay. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach out. Now, we've all been there at one point in time.
You mentioned FRG, Family Readiness Groups. Does every unit in the Guard and Reserve have a Family Readiness Group?
Yes, they do. We have 80 here across the state.
And so that's the first line of help for the military families, or education.
Correct. Yes, it is the first line of help. We, as the FIRSAs, we train all of our FRG leaders and volunteers, as well as the commands on FRG groups and what the requirements are, and how to take care of the families, as well as how to get out the information and resources in a timely manner and accurate. That's another thing, too, is things to be accurate.
So if families have some issue, the first place they go is Family Readiness Group. Then they'll refer them to some other resources, such as the Family Assistance Centers?
Correct.
And then how does it proceed from there?
It goes Family Assistance Center will triage the situation and decide which avenue or which direction is best suited for the situation or if there's a specific resource that they're able to refer them to or to take care of. They will guide the situation. It's a smooth handoff. It's not just a, here you go, call this number. We do a smooth handoff.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the Family Readiness Support Program here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we've been talking about Minnesota's Family Readiness Support Assistance Program. And in studio, we have Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach from Minnesota's Department of Military Affairs, and Sharon Baker, who is a Senior Family Readiness Support Assistant for that program. And ladies, we were talking about the fact that when our service members deploy, their families also sacrifice and have to deal with going through the day-to-day activities of life without a spouse deployed, whether it's the husband or the wife, because there's a lot of women in the service today. And I'm glad I'm old, because I wouldn't want to be home with two or three kids and be a man and try to handle that. My wife did a much better job of that stuff than I ever did. So I'll just throw that out there. But Sharon, we just witnessed in the last week or so the deployment ceremony for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Soldiers. They're going down to Texas and then over to Kuwait for 10 months. And what nobody, I think they probably talked about this over there, but what I want to talk about today is they were planning and preparing for that for months, probably a year or so, for that deployment. And while the soldiers were preparing, there was also some preparation for the families.
We had many FRG meetings to prepare the family, also trainings, and we had the family prep academies, and the families are prepared, and they know what resources are available to them and how to reach out to those and how to reach out to the community as well.
You know, I remember, excuse me, Annette, a couple of years ago, I had the wife of an Air Force airman, I think he was from the 133rd, on the show, and her husband had been deployed short periods of time, 18 different times. And I asked her, I said, how many times when he was deployed did something break down at home? And her answer was, every time. So there are things that happen, and the law of numbers says it's probably going to happen when you're gone and when you can least afford it. So that's part of the reason the Yellow Ribbon groups are here, networks, and that's also part of the reason that we help the families with this training and show them where all the resources are.
Absolutely, and the Yellow Ribbon networks are always partnering with our family assistance centers and our family readiness support assistants, who are on the front line of working with these families to identify needs and anything that the families might need, need help with.
And so, Sharon, I know that I think one of your partners, one of the other people at the Minnesota Family Readiness Support Assistance Program, were heavily involved in that preparation for the families?
Yes, Linda Slickabear. She is the first at Invergrove Heights Armory with 34ID, and she also covers the 347 RSG. And she oversaw and took care of getting those soldiers out and making sure those families are trained and prepared for what's to come.
So the first line of support, as we said in the first segment, is the FRGs, the family readiness groups.
Correct.
If the family experiences some kind of problem, emergency, needs some help, they can go there and find out what resources are available.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come to you. Is that part of your organization?
They can come to us, and we can help them out as well. We basically are here as family readiness support assistants. We are command assets, and we help the commanders out. We're that link between the commanders and the families and the family readiness groups. So we make sure that everybody's adhering to the regulations, as well as everybody knows the resources and knows where they can go to acquire them or get them, or we also help them in regards to that, because there's those that might have a hard time navigating to get to where they need to get, and we can also assist there.
Are there some common things that the families are asking for or have in the past?
Well, there's some things if you're looking to get into some community involvement and help out these soldiers and their families, you know, volunteering to an FRG group is open to anybody that is interested in supporting the service members and their families. If you are interested in volunteering, feel free to contact one of the armories or go check out our Facebook page at Minnesota Family Readiness Support Assistant/FRSA. and let us know that you're interested in volunteering and being a part of our FRG groups, and we can find somewhere that you can volunteer and help us out. Also, we have some ideas where the community can get involved. You can assist and offer to assist with small repairs, especially when a soldier's away. You know, things break down like you were discussing earlier, and that can cause some conflict within the family. But if we as a community show up to help them, it can create some safety and some stability there for the family. They know that their community is behind them and going to help them and support them. As simple as assisting with yard work or snow removal, you know, that helps decrease that feeling of isolation.
Annette, that sounds like the Yellow Ribbon Network's all your communities.
Exactly. And the FRSAs do a great job of connecting all the family readiness groups into our Yellow Ribbon Networks. We work as partnership all across the state.
So we've heard over and over again that the Yellow Ribbon Networks, the communities, are available to help with mowing the lawn, shoveling the snow, some of those things. And Annette has told us that on occasion, it's just somebody to stop by and have a cup of coffee when the kids are at school and talk adult talk for a few minutes and say, how are you doing?
Yeah, that definitely works too. You know, as simple as, you know, noticing that spouse, you know, just needs an ear or somebody to talk to besides talking to those little ones, you know, and enjoying that cup of coffee. Or, you know, noticing that person might just, you know, need to have some conversation.
We're talking about the Minnesota Family Readiness Support Assistance on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Sharon, if there's a financial emergency of some kind, then you tie them into the Family Assistance Centers, and they can access organizations such as the MMFF, Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Yes, we can, sir. Yes, we do that.
So you're really a connector.
Yeah, we do. We connect the service members and their family members with the different resources that they could need. You know, we cover the whole spectrum. So, you know, whatever they need, we're there for them, and we're there to guide them in the correct direction. You know, they really do rely on us. So
for all our listeners out there, if you know of a military family in Minnesota that needs some type of assistance and hasn't asked for it, try to tell them to get a hold of their family readiness group. They'll know where it is. It's part of the unit. If they can't find that, then they can go to the Facebook page for MN Family Readiness Support Assistance FRSA. And Sharon and her partners will help you. And where are you located around the state?
Well, I am at the Cottage Grove Armory, but we have six other locations as well. We have FRSA that's located at the Inver Grove Heights Armory. Also, Marshall has a FRSA there at their armory, Arden Hills Armory, Bloomington, Albert Lee Armory, and we also have a FRSA up in Duluth as well, sir.
So are you looking for volunteers?
We're always looking for volunteers to help out with our FRGs and become part of our military community, military family.
And what type of things would those volunteers be asked to do?
Show up to meetings and help create with ideas on different things that we can do. As simple as, you know, helping provide refreshments for our FRG meetings. You know, helping create new ideas to make it a fun environment so it's not just the same meeting place or meeting time, you know, making arrangements to possibly have an FRG meeting outside the normal locale of an armory. Let's go have one at a Starbucks or at a Caribou or something like that. Helping make those type of arrangements.
And have some fun with it.
You know, or make a fun day for the families to go to the zoo or something and have our FRG meeting to where it's an activity. You're getting out there doing something healthy and, you know, taking in some life versus, you know, wondering what's going on.
Sharon, I want to thank you for joining us today at the studio on Minnesota Military Radio. For our listeners out there, if you want to get involved and help, go to MN Family Readiness Support Assistance FRSA. And Annette, we just got about 30 seconds left, but all these organizations are all tied in and they all seem to come back to my Yellow Ribbon Lady.
Exactly. That's the beauty of our program, is just the total synchronization of effort from Minnesotans all coming together to help our service members and veterans and military families.
Well, it's good to know that when we've got a deployment like was just happening now with 650 Red Bulls going out, that all of these organizations are here to have their back and help their family while they're out, support doing their job overseas in for our country.
And we're always asking all Minnesotans, get involved with your Yellow Ribbon Network, with your family readiness group. We still need more people to come to the helm and help us out.
Annette, thanks for coming by to see us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was, once again, go to MN Family Readiness Support Assistance-FRSA. For more information, please stay with us. In a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA's Fisher Houses. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the Minneapolis VA's Fisher Houses. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelletow.
The mission of the Minnesota Veterans Home is serving those who have served by providing quality health care in an environment of trust, dignity, and sharing. Our homes provide a safe and comfortable environment for veterans and their spouses to call home. Veterans homes are located across the state in five different locations: Minneapolis, Fergus Falls, Hastings, Laverne, and Silver Bay. Our vision is to continually develop and deliver a safe, dignified, and compassionate healthcare system while providing a nurturing and engaging home environment for Minnesota's heroes. We deliver personalized care according to the individual needs of each resident. Our facilities operate 24/7 to ensure the safety and comfort of our veterans. If you or a loved one are interested in applying to one of our veterans' homes, applications are available at minnesotaveteran.org. That's minnesotaveterans.org. At the Minnesota Veterans Home, every day is Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelletow. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Jessica Peterson, who is the manager of the Fisher Houses located out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Jessica, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Can you tell us just quickly, Fisher Houses, what is that? You've got two of them out at the Minneapolis VA. What do they do?
We do. We have two in Minneapolis. There are 78 around the nation. There are some that are on military installations, and there are some that are located at VA medical centers. And so Minneapolis actually has two Fisher Houses, where in the nation only one other place has more than one that's on a by a VA medical center.
So we're fortunate here to have two Fisher Houses.
We are.
And we're going to get to those in a little bit, but I understand you come from a military family and you're kind of an Air Force brat?
I am an Air Force brat. Yep, I was raised overseas in the Air Force.
And you moved around a little bit with your parents?
We did, yep. We lived in Turkey and Japan and Greece and Hawaii.
That sounds like a great adventure growing up.
It was.
Okay. Well, how did you get to the Fisher Houses?
So I'm a social worker by profession. I worked outside of the VA system and I've worked within the VA system for a couple and a half years, and I've been the VA Minneapolis Fisher House manager for a year and a half.
Well, we had Marge on the show a couple of times, and she did a great job. Did she retire?
She did. She retired a couple of years ago.
Did you get to spend a little bit of time with her before that?
I have met with her. She's a great lady. She's done a lot of good.
It was fun having her on the show. Now, the Fisher Houses, I understand there are 28 rooms between the two Fisher Houses, and one of them was built in 1995, and the other one was built in 2011. How did we get lucky enough to have the second one come about?
Yeah, so in Minneapolis, because we have a polytrauma unit and we have a spinal cord injury unit, we have more need for long-term stay for people than some of the other VA medical centers. There's only, you know, just four or five of each in the nation. And so that's why because we have both, we have more.
So it was needs-based, and because the Minneapolis VA Medical Center can do and does so much to help so many people, then we were eligible to get a second one.
Right. We also do a lot of cardiac care at the Minneapolis VA, and so we have a lot of people who come to stay close to their loved ones.
Well, who's eligible to stay at a Fisher House?
So you have to live 50 miles or greater from the VA Medical Center, and we're pretty tight on that number. And then you also have to have someone who is inpatient at the hospital receiving care.
So they have to live over 50 miles away. Yep. So I can't come stay there.
You can't.
But I can come volunteer a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we'll have to stop by and take a tour of that sometime.
Absolutely.
And then if we've got a service member that's a patient at the hospital, then the family gets to stay at the Fisher House?
Right. So if they're staying overnight in the hospital, the veteran, then that's when the family can stay with us.
And how long can they stay?
So we don't have a limit, a maximum or a minimum for people to stay. So our average length of stay is about 5.5 days. But people stay sometimes just a night or two, and some people are there for months and months. So it really depends on what's going on over at the medical center.
So we said that there's 28 rooms there. Tell me about a room. How big is a room and how many people can stay there?
Yeah, so each room is configured a little bit differently. Some rooms have two twin beds, some have a queen-size bed, and some have two full-size beds. And it's a maximum of 5 people per room, and a veteran only has access to one room for their family members.
So these are built like hotels then?
Yeah, it's actually kind of a fancy-ish hotel. So they're suites. Each room has a bathroom and a shower, a TV, DVD player, that kind of thing. And then we have each house has a gourmet large kitchen with 3 refrigerators, 2 freezers. We stock it full of food, and there's stoves, ovens, washers, dryers, so people can stay as long as they need to and have what they need.
So with the family staying there while the service member's getting some treatment at the medical center, just like being at home, only maybe all is better. It's stocked with gourmet food.
It's awesome. Yep.
So do they do their own cooking, or how does that work?
So they can. They can cook whatever they want, but we also have volunteers who come. We usually have people come 3-4 times a week, different groups from the community or individuals who want to cook for us will come and cook food.
So you've got like a community area and a kitchen, and so they come out of the rooms, and are there dining tables where they come in and have dinner?
There are. We have about 6 dining tables in our larger Fisher House, and that's usually where food is served.
Okay, so they come over from the other house and they have the kitchen in the bigger house.
Yep, absolutely.
So are they real close together? I haven't seen them. Where are they in relation to the hospital?
They are. They are close together. There's a sidewalk that connects them that's heated because of our Minnesota winters.
So I'm a patient out there, and I go to the hospital quite often, but when I go in there and I park, or I go in there, where are they with regard to the hospital and the parking ramp?
Yeah, so they're across the street and on the corner is what I always say, and we share a parking lot with the Highway Federal Credit Union.
So it's across the street from where the light rail runs?
Yep.
Okay, that's why I haven't seen it. I haven't been over on that side.
There you go. And there's a shuttle that runs to and from the VA that runs from 5:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the evening, Monday through Friday, and so that helps people out who don't like to drive in the city.
So how busy are you?
So we run, our capacity, like you said, is 28 rooms, and we run usually between 85 and 95% capacity all the time.
So it's a busy place.
It is a very busy place.
Now, do you have any other paid employees besides yourself, or you just run with volunteers?
We do. I have Amy Wickland, who is wonderful, and she is my she's my assistant there. And then I have a full-time housekeeper and a part-time housekeeper. And then we have a lot of volunteers, and they are the backbone as well. They do amazing things. They have helped with our gardens this summer, and they cook the meals sometimes, and they help with cleaning and all kinds of things.
So it's busy every day, every week, all year long?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing you've got some good help there.
It is.
We just got a couple minutes left in this segment, but tell me about the Fisher House Foundation. How did this all come about?
Yeah, so the Fisher House Foundation is wonderful. They're great supports to us. Zachary and Elizabeth Fisher, their family is still involved in the foundation. Their nephew runs the house. Mr. Fisher passed away, and so he's no longer with us. But the reason he decided to create the Fisher House idea was that he wanted to serve in World War II, and he couldn't. He had a bad leg. And so when he heard that veterans and service members' families were sleeping in their cars, he was a builder, and he thought, I can do something about that. And so he approached the federal government and said, I would like to do something like Ronald McDonald House. And the federal government said, sure, you know, you provide the financing, we'll take care of it. And he said, I know what federal government would build, and I don't want that. And so he decided that he would take it on in a different sort of a way. So he, the way it works is the VA Medical Center will identify a need for a Fisher House, and they donate the land to the Fisher House Foundation. The Fisher House Foundation does some local fundraising, and they partner with those dollars. They build the house from the ground up, and then they provide us with everything needed, including the appliances, sheets, towels, everything. And then they donate it back to the VA, and they charge the VA with maintaining it at the same level that they received it at.
And they've done this all over the country.
They have, yep, 78 Fisher Houses across the country.
It really became a mission for him until he passed.
Yep, absolutely. He used to speak with somebody from a Fisher House every single day before he passed. Even on the day he passed, he spoke with someone.
What a wonderful legacy he left.
He did.
Jessica, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the Fisher Houses at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about the Fisher Houses located at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center here in Minneapolis. And there are two of them out there with 28 rooms. And we've been speaking with Jessica Peterson, the manager of our Fisher Houses. And Jessica, can you tell us again who's eligible to stay at the Fisher Houses?
Yeah, so you have to live 50 miles or greater from the VA Medical Center. And you have to have someone who is inpatient at the hospital staying overnight.
So if we've got a service member or a veteran that's there getting some type of treatment, does it matter if they're there 2 days or 2 weeks? Can the family stay?
Yep, the family can stay as long as they need to.
And there's no charge to the family?
There's zero charge.
What a wonderful facility.
It is a great place to be.
You've got to enjoy your job out there.
I love my job. And I love the people that come there.
I could tell. Now, we started talking about the Fisher House Foundation. They built these houses and built the first one in 1995. The second one was built in 2011. And Mr. Fisher, you told me, decided that he could build a better house than maybe the government could. So he cooked up a deal with the VA where they donated the land and he built the houses. And how many around the country?
There are 78 around the country. Yep, he wanted people to feel like they were staying in his mansion with him. And so there's a picture of him in the dining room at every house.
And of course, you said that these 28 rooms, can some of them can sleep up to five people.
Yep.
And that there's a common area that's pretty nice with some TVs and dining tables. There's washers, dryers, and a gourmet kitchen fully stocked.
Absolutely.
I'm just thinking about all the veterans and veterans families. They might not want to go home.
That's right.
We'll stay there and use those gourmet kitchens.
Yeah, and we have beautiful gardens as well that our grounds crew helps us maintain, and we have volunteers who help us with that. And this year we have a fairy garden there that we've put in for the kids where there's a treasure hunt for them. And
you said you've got some volunteers that come out maybe once a week and cook?
Yeah, so we have some volunteers that come once a week. We have some that come quarterly. We have some that come just once a year with their corporation or business.
So you're always looking for volunteers to help because you're thin staffed. It's you and three other people.
Yep.
And how many volunteers do you think you have?
We usually average about 80, 85 a month.
And you work them all hard.
We do. We work them to the bone.
I'll bet you don't. But they keep coming back.
They do. Yep.
Okay, so you're always looking for more volunteers?
We are. We're always looking for volunteers to help us with our gardens. We're always looking for people to help us with cooking or some heavy-duty cleaning out the fridges and all that kind of stuff. And
so for our listeners, if you want to help at the Fisher Houses that are located out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, all you have to do is Google Minneapolis Fisher Houses, and that'll come up. And then they can get a hold of you and just say, well, I'm a pretty good cook. Can you use me?
Absolutely.
Or maybe I'm great at growing flowers, or maybe I like to make cookies.
Absolutely.
Something as simple as that.
We have a vegetable garden this year that some people have helped us with and all kinds of stuff.
So the veterans that come through, do they leave you any notes? What do they say about their experience at the Fisher's House?
We do. We get a lot of good compliments from people. People love to be there. They love the community support that they feel from each other, and being able to talk to other people who are going through what you're going through is invaluable.
Well, what a great facility and what a great way to take care of the families when their veterans are over at the medical center getting treatment.
Absolutely.
Okay, one last time for our listeners, if they want to help, they can just Google Minneapolis Fisher House, and they can get a hold of you and come on out and join the party.
Absolutely.
All right, any final thoughts about our Fisher Houses, Jessica?
You know, I love the slogan is that a family's love is good medicine, and I believe that to be true, that having your family close by is good when you're in the medical center.
Thank you for taking time to come join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Jessica Peterson, the manager of the Fisher Houses located at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Joining me now is Ralph Huesner, Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA. And Ralph, you're in the studio. You usually call in.
Yes, I came out today with Jessica, and this may be my last appearance for a while because next week our director, Pat Kelly, is coming back. Mr. Kelly has been on special duty to the regional VA office for the past 4 months. So he'll be back in office come this next week. And so our October VA update will have Pat Kelly back.
Very good, but you've done a wonderful job, Ralph. I understand there was a rotation there. Did somebody rotate into Minneapolis from Sioux Falls, and then Director Kelly went up to regional?
Yes. Mr. Darwin Goodspeed, also U.S. Navy retired. Mr. Kelly is U.S. Navy retired. He has been the Sioux Falls VA director for about 5 years. So he's very familiar with the VA process. Sioux Falls VA is a bit smaller than Minneapolis, but he knows the systems, he knows the type of care, and he stepped in, did a great job. But beginning October 1, Mr. Goodspeed will be back in Sioux Falls.
Well, we wish him all the best, and thank him for doing a good job while Director Kelly was gone. But we look forward to talking to Director Kelly.
And I'm sure he looks forward to being back and being on the air with you.
Ralph, I understand the VA recently published some quality data on its 146 VA medical centers. How did we do?
Minneapolis did well. The majority of medical centers, 114, showed improvement. It's based on metrics or numbers, 25 different metrics. The metrics are readmission rates, complications, discharge, call center, wait times. So Minneapolis had a moderate increase in improvement, but in areas that are very important. One area is the call center. Over time, we get a lot of complaints from veterans saying we have to wait too long when we call the call center. So we made a major effort to improve the timeliness. We've added staff at the call center, which is based in Richfield. So we are able to keep people on the line so they don't have to hang up. So we showed significant improvement in our call center. Also, wait times. Wait times are tracked nationally, and we have improved the wait times. That is the time from your request for appointment to actually being seen. So in some very specific important areas, primary care, mental health, and cardiology, we've improved the wait times. So the report came out on Tuesday of this past week. Not a lot of media attention because, to be candid, you know, it's numbers, but they're important numbers, and that's how we gauge improvement.
Ralph, understanding you're still holding some town hall and community meetings. You got one coming up?
We have a couple coming up. Just for background, since 2014, we've held 23 community events, town hall meetings at all of our community clinics. We've been in northern Minnesota, southern Minnesota, and Wisconsin. So in October, we're going to be in northwest Wisconsin. We have clinics in Hayward and Rice Lake. We're going to be in Rice Lake and Hayward October 18 and 19. We'll be back in the Twin Cities in November. We'll be up at our Maplewood Seebach. And we'll have a major town hall at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on November 19th. We're going to have the VBA there, the NCA, that's the National Cemetery. We're going to welcome the new regional director, Rob McDivitt, to that event. So we're really going to push the word and ask veterans and others to come out 7 o'clock on November 19th at the VA Medical Center.
Ralph, we just got about a minute left, but we're welcoming Director Kelly back, and it sounds like he's going to have to get his hard hat out again. You've got some more building project coming up.
Yes, I've been at the VA for 11 years, and building renovation is constant. It's an older building, well, built in 1998, but it was built for inpatients. Well, inpatient usage has declined. Outpatient usage has increased. So we are expanding our mental health area in the first floor, in the back of the hospital, where there are currently some planters. We're going to be taking the planners out and adding space for more inpatient mental health rooms, more rooms for counseling, more rooms for offices. A specific area we're expanding is in suicide prevention, which is the number one clinical priority in the VA right now. We've doubled our suicide prevention staff from 4 to 8, and they need office space.
Very good, Ralph. And I want to thank you for giving us all these updates while Director Kelly's been gone. You've done a great job. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
This is Ralph Huesner, the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Sharon Baker, Jessica Peterson, Ralph Huesner from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelotto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the St. Cloud Vet Center and get an update on the Minnesota National Guard's Women Leadership Forum. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.